Welcome to the ACO Show. I'm Josh Israel, along with my co-host Sean Cavanaugh. And we're joined today by Farzad Mostashari, who is the CEO of Aledade, along with Dr. Christine Meyer, who is a physician in the Aledade Network. She owns and runs a practice in Exton, Pennsylvania. And we're doing this show, a sort of special edition, because a very unspecial thing has happened. Let's get into it. Farzad, what happened in these last couple of weeks with Change Healthcare?
So Change Healthcare is one of the switches in the healthcare system. They are one of the largest things that you never think about until they stop working. And they were acquired by Optum and they got hacked. And as part of that cyber attack from Russian hackers, who the FBI, at least in the past, has said are associated with the state, actually, as part of that, their systems got taken down. And the consequences of that became kind of more and more visible to us over the past couple of weeks. I'd actually like to ask Dr. Meyer, when was the first time she realized that she might have a problem on her hands?
So on Wednesday, February 21st, my billing manager slacked us all and said, "Hey, Change Healthcare's down." And honestly, I blew right past it. I don't know what Change Healthcare is. It's not impacting me today. Somebody else is going to worry about it, and it's going to come back up in a little bit. And it wasn't until about 4 or 5 hours later that she came into my office and she was like stricken. And she was like, "Christine, this is bad." And I was like, "Why? Like, what is Change Healthcare?" And that was my first introduction to the fact that Change Healthcare was our lifeline. And if it stayed down for very long, we were going to be in trouble, which unfortunately is what played out.
So, Josh, one of the things that makes this difficult is all the different roles that Change Healthcare plays in the system. So their prescriptions and electronic prescribing got disrupted, and practices had to drop down to paper, and in some cases had trouble actually with controlled substances. There are lab results that didn't get served. And Change Healthcare serves as a technology partner and a clearinghouse on both sides of transactions. They help practices like Dr. Meyer's get claims out to health plans in a format that they will pay them, hopefully, and pass all the logic of how plans evaluate whether they should reject or accept a claim. They do that sort of processing. But they also serve, in some cases, as exclusive payment facilitators for health plans. So they're on like multiple sides of multiple kinds of transactions in the healthcare system, which is part of why I think the consequences of this are going to take some time. For practices like Dr. Meyer's, and we don't actually have a very accurate sense of what percent of practices rely on Change or relied on Change for their outbound claims. It means basically that very few claims are getting out at all, which means that your payments from the claims you submitted last week might still be dribbling in, but you can imagine that there's a backlog building and building and building and building of visits you've done, costs you've incurred that you're not going to get paid for quite some time. And that, I think, creates the liquidity challenge. It's not like COVID, where like visits weren't happening, so people wouldn't just be paid. The visits have occurred. The payment is there. The premiums have been paid to the health plans. There's a liquidity crunch.
Farza, when you say pay claims, what does that mean?
Dr. Meyer, what does that mean?
So every time we see a patient, give a patient a vaccine, do anything clinical to a patient, we submit a charge, and the charge goes on a claim. And that claim is submitted to the patient's insurer, in our case, through Change Healthcare. And then the claim is, like Farzad said, either accepted or rejected. And we hope for lots and lots of our claims to be accepted. And most are. It turns out I used to have a really, really, really efficient, fantastic billing team, which I also took for granted. But then once those charges are accepted, you know, some time passes and we get paid. And there's a lot on the back end of that. So, you know, my big thing the last 10 days or so has been getting those claims out so we can get cash in. As far as I said, a huge liquidity crunch. But it turns out the back end of this, when we start to, you know, try to reconcile the payments that are coming in from all this mishmash of ways, it's going to be a disaster. Like, I can't even, you know, people are already trying to talk to me about it in my office. I'm like, I can't like deal with that right now. That's going to be, we're going to cross that bridge when it comes. Cause right now I have a bigger fire in front of me. You know, like you said, President, the implications are just, we don't even know right yet how bad it's going to be.
Dr. Meyer, give us a sense of the scale of the problem for you. Like, how big is your practice? How many patients are you seeing? How much money, in round terms?
Yeah.
Of expense are you incurring each week?
Huge. So I am the only owner of my practice. So when it's good, it's good. And when it's bad, it's terrible. And our overhead on an average month, I just did a very rough calculation. It's about $580,000 to $650,000 a month in overhead between our payroll and, you know, all the other stuff. That's without me getting paid. And certainly I pay myself less, you know, as any business owner will tell you, when you get paid when you can, as long as everybody else is paid. So, and because we were so efficient, we turned claims into cash really, really fast. I didn't know this either, but it turns out, you know, we submit a claim that first week after the claim goes out, we get 13% of those claims that are paid the first week. And then between 50 and 60% are paid weeks 2 and 3. So we didn't submit claims after February 19th was the last day we submitted claims. By the end of that week, I already saw my deposits down. And the other thing that happened is our patient payment portal, where our patients can go online and pay their bills, also funneled through Change Healthcare. So none of our patients could pay their bills. So that was like an immediate, you know, immediately noticeable drop in income.
And, you know, for us, we obviously have been, we're monitoring the situation, but I think both us and a lot of other folks, including policymakers, I want to ask Sean, like, what it might have imagined, what it might have been like on the CMS side. I think we all expected the problem to be fixed.
Yeah.
And then when it became clear that they can't just recover, go back to their right. backup servers and restore servers.
Right.
This is taking now 10 days, 9 days, 10 days, 11 days. And then the question was, well, is United going to take care of this? And they came out in the week last, gosh, was it only last week? Oh my gosh. It was only last week. Last week they said, oh, we're going to do a temporary financial assistance program. And then we were all like, oh, great. They're going to solve the problem. And the time when I really called incident command at Allied was on Friday, March 1st, because of Dr. Meyer. And
really? Oh my God. Yeah, really. I didn't know that.
Totally.
Wow.
Totally. Dr. Meyer had posted on LinkedIn, and she had said that after 9 days, we had a glimmer of hope that Optum was going to provide some relief in the form of a loan based on claim submissions to be paid weekly. Here is what they're going to offer me, $1,000 a week.
Yeah. And
I saw that. I canceled my meetings and calling everyone on the team. Like, we have got to, right? On the policy side, on the technology side, on the finance side, on the field side, I was like, guys, like, stop what you're doing. This is what we're doing now.
No, I can't believe it. I'm like sweating. I thank you so much. I'm so glad you're on LinkedIn, Farzan.
He's on it, unfortunately, sometimes during meetings we have with him. So it's not always great.
Farzad, you mentioned what it might be like within CMS to see this playing out. And having been at CMS, but not during a crisis like this, I can tell you there's sort of two reactions. The first reaction is, this isn't us. You know, there's always concern within CMS, our systems will go down. And so there's got to be a reaction of, well, this isn't us, so it's not our responsibility. But then quickly, policymakers realize, actually, we're not just a claims-paying organization. We want people to actually get care. And for them to get care, we need a healthcare system that's resilient and is open and accessible to our beneficiaries. And then you start to see them starting to think, what is the proper role for Medicare, Medicaid, and public programs in solving this problem? And I think Farzan and I have both been a little disappointed in the reaction so far, in that CMS has offered advanced payments to Part A providers, but not to Part B providers like Dr. Meyer, and they're citing regulatory concerns that we're hopeful they can work their way through.
Josh is just dying to force you to please define your terms. Stop being so weedy.
Welcome to my life.
You're not going to say what's Part A?
Part A, so Medicare is composed of multiple parts. Part A, it tends to be hospitals and other institutional providers. And Part B tends to be clinicians and ambulatory services, so things outside of institutions. Dr. Meyer runs a physician practice. I bet from a Medicare perspective, essentially 100% of her billings and services are under Part B. Yeah.
So Dr. Meyer, we're hearing that then they were going to pay the hospitals, but not the primary care practices. I'm guessing there's not a primary care practice in this country that has $500,000 a month in cash reserves. So what were you looking at doing?
Well, can I just say something to that? Because I'm so mad about this. First of all, I am married to literally the most frugal person on the planet. My husband's a pediatrician. He's not in medicine to make money, okay? So he's been our entire life super frugal. So there would have been a time, to be honest, and this is, you know, so lots of transparency and vulnerability here, but people need to hear this. If this had happened in October, November, December, I would have had maybe $500,000 in cash reserves, because the way we are paid in primary care, especially now as we transition to value-based care, is we get so many of our lump sum incentive payments in that last quarter. I think when I figured it out, something like 40% of my annual revenue comes in 2 months out of the year, and neither of them are February or March, unfortunately. So yeah, like at this moment, we absolutely did not have a month's worth of cash reserves. Absolutely not.
One of the things that we realized we had to do was just gather information, because there was so little data out there. And so that Friday, one of the things that we stood up was a survey that went out to practices to try to get a handle on how big a problem is this. And we were pretty shocked at how significant the challenges for essentially every single practice that was using Change said to us, I need financial assistance. Like literally every single one. There wasn't a one that said, oh, I'm fine, I have reserves, I can, you know. And then what was interesting was there were a whole bunch of other practices who said, yeah, I don't use Change, but I'm also seeing lower payments from the payers who use Change. And for practices that have margins, you know, in the single digits, if 10 or 20% of your billing is not going to be paid because the payer isn't paying it, you too will run into problems sooner or later. So among the things that we stood up was, one, getting in direct communication with the clearinghouses, with the electronic health record vendors. I called the CEO of an EHR vendor Friday morning and connected us to their team, and we got a download of what we would have to do to switch and what they were hearing. And, you know, even contacted people behind the scenes at Optum to try to figure out if there's anything that we could anticipate coming down the pike. And then the information synthesis, technical assistance. And then by Monday, when it became clear that the Optum temporary financial assistance program was going to be cover somewhere between 1% to 5% of different practices' needs, on Monday, we convened the finance meeting to say, how much money can we push out to practices?
Dr. Meyer, Farzad just described the program Aledade starting up to help practices like yours. Are you going to participate? And is this meaningful to you?
Oh my gosh, you have no idea. So I told myself I was not going to tear up having this conversation, but I just may, and I apologize. Yeah, so when we realized that we're going to be $500,000 in the hole, we looked at all of our personal resources, and it's not the first time that we would have dumped personal cash into the business. It's what we do. And from a security standpoint, really our best option was to take out equity on our home. We were nervous about putting all of our liquid cash into the business. There's so much uncertainty with that. So that then three nights ago, I don't remember when it was, we were like, we're going to do it. Like we have it, we're going to do it. It's going to suck, but it'll be fine. And literally hours after we had that conversation over some very stiff drinks, I got the email from Aledade that they were going to give us this Aledade Accelerate money, $100 million to practices. And I was literally just floored. You know, I can't describe to you the relief that comes at a moment like that. We would have done what we had to do, and it wasn't even just the money, to be honest with you. It's to, after having so many people that we have worked with for so long, see our plight and not do anything, not even try, to feel like heard, seen, like wrapped up by Aledade, even before a single dollar was, you know, given, is tremendous. I would say that almost means more to me. Like the money, we would have found the money somewhere. It would have stunk and we would have hated it, but we would have found it. It's really the attitude and the true feeling of partnership that has meant everything to me.
Is it dusty in here?
Me too.
What is Aledade Accelerate? Can you say more about that?
Yeah, so Dr. Meyer had mentioned that something like 40% of the revenue of her practice now comes from value-based payments. And that's fantastic. That's exactly what we want.
Yeah. Right?
We want to offer primary care practices a new revenue stream that is not tied to fee-for-service. The only problem is that it's lumpy and it's late.
Right.
So you do all the work through all of 2023, you kept your patients healthy, you kept them out of the hospital, you did chronic disease management, you did the prevention work. And for every Medicare patient now, you might see a lot more additional benefits coming to you from keeping them healthy and out of the hospital, which is, you know, saving the system, saving the patients a lot of money. That's the value-based income stream, but the payment might come in October. And so what we realized is, gosh, we have very good visibility in March into how big that October check is going to be. And that was the program that we threw into hyperdrive. And we got confirmation literally within minutes to hours from the bankers that, yes, they would be willing to give Aledade $100 million line of credit for us to give it to the practices.
I'll just say something, and this is totally naivete on my part, President, but, you know, people have said since this announcement's come out, you know, why are you so happy about this? This is your money that Aledade is giving you. And people don't understand that your money isn't your money until you have it in your hand, right? So yes, it's money we have earned, but I know for a fact that CMS is not quick with those dollars. You know, it's not like January 2nd, all of a sudden CMS is like, here you go, here's your $2023. So Aledade doesn't have it yet. And I wouldn't have had it until October because of that very big delay. So, you know, this is an advance, sure, on work we did, but it is absolutely more than, I mean, in a lot of value-based contracts, I mean, tons of them. Not a single one besides Aledade has offered to give us an advance on those dollars that, yes, we worked for them and we, in a partnership with Aledade, have earned them. But again, nobody else has done what Aledade has done, even all that given.
You know, taking a step back a little bit, this system that we have, the fee-for-service system, is, you know, we it's almost like we're fish swimming in water and we can't see it. Even though it's dictating the laws of gravity for us, we can't see the system. And this, because we spent 50 years creating these workarounds, these intermediaries, these clearinghouses that pass claims to other intermediaries who do it. Like, and it's a crazy Rube Goldberg-esque convoluted patch on patch on patch. Even now, trying to figure out what the heck happened with Change is almost impossible, because trying to figure out the pathway, the life cycle of a payment is so convoluted and difficult. And we don't see it because most of the time, like people like Dr. Myers Biller and like all these people are just like keeping the system going. And then something like this happens. And then you say, like, what is this system? And is this the right way for primary care to be paid for? Or does it make more sense to have, you know, hey, Dr. Meyer, you have 20,000 patients. And in return for delivering excellent primary care to each of them, let's count noses. And we'll just pay you a monthly, we'll pay you a monthly fee for taking amazing care of these patients. And if and that monthly fee can go up if you deliver even better care. So that, I think, is something for us to think about. This is not an Aledade problem. Fee for service is the problem. And we're trying to patch it now with these value-based payments. But ultimately, I think we have to use these times of crisis to ask the question, what is the better way?
Well, one last question, Dr. Meyer. The patients have any idea this is going on, or are they coming in and getting treated and everything's fine for them?
Well, you know, I have a problem right now because I'm trying to make it business as usual for my patients. And so far it really has been for my team. This is such a weird thing. We have these fully stocked conference rooms and break rooms that we just like supply with food and snacks and like all this stuff all the time, because I don't want people to get hypoglycemic and make a mistake. And our cupboards are bare. And it is such a like a metaphor, because I was like, first thing that's going to go is these stupid snacks. Like people could do without their popcorn for a few days. But from the patient side, they're not seeing any of that, except for a lot of my patients are on social media and they're kind of following my story on LinkedIn. And I think, you know, it's the truth. So they have to know. But our hours are the same, our providers are the same. And that's like, I'm going to keep that going as long as humanly possible.
Dr. Meyer, thank you for your time today, but more importantly, thank you for everything you're doing for those patients.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Farzad, Sean, Josh. Thank you, Aledade. I mean, really, besides what you're doing for me and all the other practices, you're setting the standard for what we expect from our partners. I mean, you really are. So I appreciate that so much.
Farzad Mostashari, CEO of Aledade, Christine Meyer of Exton, Pennsylvania. Thank you both so much for joining the show.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Sean. I want to add some late-breaking news to this edition of the ACO show. Less than 24 hours after we recorded this conversation with Farzad and Dr. Meyer, CMS announced that it will make advanced payments available for Part B services, including office visits and other services provided by Dr. Meyer and thousands of physicians like her around the country. This means that any physicians who cannot submit claims to Medicare because of the problems at Change Healthcare can now apply to receive an advance payment for these services that they are providing. These advances will be repaid through a withholding from future Medicare claims. This is exactly the policy that Aledade and many of our allies were asking CMS to implement. We hope and expect that other healthcare payers will follow CMS's leadership in this area and provide assistance to their network providers who are caring for their members but not receiving payment because of the hacking of Change Healthcare. To learn more about this announcement, you can go to Aledade's Cyber Incident Response webpage, or you can find more info on the CMS website as well. We are very grateful to CMS for taking this action. They've once again demonstrated their commitment to maintaining the resiliency of the healthcare providers that Medicare beneficiaries rely on for high-quality healthcare.
The ACO Show now has a mailbag. Submit your questions or episode ideas to acoshow@aledade.com. This show was produced by Leanne Horst, Alana Coogan, Rebecca Raymond, and Stuart Taylor. Check out more of our show wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.